My name is Candace Morales. I am co-author of the book called In Spite of It All. I am the owner of a company called Budget for Me. And in the book, In Spite of It All, I talk about growing up without a mother.
Tell me a little bit about that. Where, I know you said you had anger. Like, how did it manifest in your life? What did it look like?
I was very aggressive. And I was a hothead and pretty stubborn. But the realization that I needed to change when I was at the lowest point of my life.
For you to go and feel like you could be naked with your emotions, I mean, I just cannot even like imagine. Like,
when you are thinking in the past, you are dissatisfied with yourself, right? And so it is the only time in my life. We're so busy. We're always on autopilot.
Let's see. What are some of the things that are in your cup? When we're talking about filling your cup, I want you to explain to the audience what that means, what does that look like, and what are some of the things to put in your cup? What I would say the requirements, the basic, the foundation?
So everyone's filling of their cup is different based on the individual, right? But for me, filling my cup, and I'm very conscious of this, and I can always feel when I'm not doing it, is doing things that makes me internally happy and joyful. And some of the things that I do to fulfill my cup is 1, self-care, 2, laughter, 3, travel and going to the beach, 4, yoga, and probably 5, riding a bicycle. And, you know, you'd like a bicycle, but riding a bicycle is something that is very childlike. And I rode a bicycle like every day in my childhood, and I had so much joy doing it. It was a time when my mother was around. And so I feel very childlike, and I feel very joyful. And I was born on Earth Day, and you know, I love nature. And so just the fact of being outside, and I feel so free, and I feel so whimsical. I just love riding a bike. But yeah, so self-care, I mean, like taking time for yourself. I take a bath. I don't watch a lot of television. I like to filling my cup is also feeding my mind with things that challenges me mentally, emotionally. So I listen to a lot of audiobooks about self-development. I listen to a lot of audiobooks about self-awareness. And oftentimes I do it while doing ordinary things like cleaning the house. And in self-care, I take a bath, and I put on either an audiobook or something soothing that makes me feel like nothing, no matter what kind of stress or what my day was like or what's going on in the children's life, all of the chaos is put on hold so that I can take care of myself wholeheartedly, mentally, physically, because you cannot pour from an empty cup. And so although it comes off selfish, you have to find things that satisfies you 100%. And it is going to be different for each individual. But I challenge you to find maybe 2 to 3 things that will give you this euphoric feeling. And it's very hard to kind of pinpoint what it is. But oftentimes people know it and they deny themselves of it because they think that they're being selfish, when in actuality, you are moving towards the process of loving yourself wholeheartedly.
So for women that their cup is like totally, they don't even know where their cup is. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
I mean, you have to find the cup for you to be able to fill it. So for some women, they don't know, you know, and it's just a struggle to just come to a place where you're like, okay, I got to take some time for me. It sounds like from what you said, even when I have a bad day, I know I got to, you know, these are the things I have to do to get myself to be at peace. Do you have self-talk? Like, what does that look like?
So I do have a lot of self-talk. I probably talk to myself way too much. Now, we talk about, you mentioned women not even having any cup, right?
Right.
And so there was a specific time in my life where I very much felt that I was depressed. So depressed, I was dealing with postpartum. I had two young children, so depressed that I wanted to sleep all day. And I was almost like having a paralyzed feeling that you could not even get out of bed. That you did not even want to be surrounded by individuals. And it's almost like, you know, you hear people talking to you and you ask if you're okay. And you put on this front, like, yeah, I'm fine. Everything's all right. But deep down, you're like a mess, a hot mess. And so those times I was very much confused and I thought I did not have a cup. And those times I had a negative self-talk. And it wasn't until I removed myself from the environment that I was in and from the people that attributed to that. I had to take responsibility for myself and the decisions that I made to put me in those circumstances. But once I removed myself, this is my own personal experience. Once I removed myself, I then started to and was able to fill the cup little by little. I did not come to this place where I am today and I'm so mindfulness and I'm a yogi and I have all these positive thoughts. No, I very much had negative thoughts and said to myself, yeah, just go to sleep. Like, you know, right. You don't have to deal with your reality and what's going on. And you really, really have to be patient with yourself. Hmm. And I would think maybe even going to a therapist. You know, there's a lot of like therapists that they would see you over the phone.
Yes, video as well.
Yes. And so you have to find an outlet, something. And I would just pray to ask God to have an understanding of what you're going through. And you got to take it day by day, right? So yesterday you could have had a really bad day. You had no cup. Today you got a little bit of cup. Enough to fill your cup, just a tad bit. Tomorrow you may regress, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a constant battle, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But whatever you did to give yourself a little bit to have the cup, to pour into the cup, keep doing that, because that is the start of removing yourself from this hole that you could easily fall back into. And giving yourself forgiveness and being kind and compassionate to yourself, because we beat up on ourselves so much for the thoughts that we have in our minds, for the circumstances, for the decisions that we make, for people in our lives, for the things that we have accepted, for the things that we have done.
Right.
You know, it is okay if you made bad decisions. It is okay if you did something bad to someone, or if your reaction could have been a little bit better. The way you communicated with someone that you love could have been better because you were not in a great place in your life. Right. But you really, really have to find something that is going to take you out of that hole. If not, you will stay in it. And it's not a really good feeling to be in. But I pray that, you know, everyone can find that little something. And it's different for everyone.
I know. I just wish everyone would just... I look forward to filling my cup, like on a daily basis, like just to find things that I like, things that I want to do, just like things that uplifts me, you know, if I'm down or I'm sad. I know, like reading the Bible for me. So for me, Like, my self-talk will be like, tomorrow's going to be better. Today's just a bad day, you know? And I try not to get offended. Because, you know, I'm just not in the business of just picking up people's issues. Because a lot of times when we get offended, we're picking up people's stuff. So I've learned when I pick up someone's stuff, I'm going to accidentally put it in my cup. So I don't pick it up. I just like, I tell myself, like, this doesn't matter. Tomorrow it won't be anything. It won't even be an issue for me. You know, so those are some of the things that I tell myself. Like yesterday I had a bad day at work. I wanted to like really beat myself up about it. But then I was like, well, Zaina, wait a minute. You did everything you could. So that it is what it is. I'm not a superwoman. There's no way that I'm perfect. All I can do is just learn from it.
You know, one of the things that I did, I hear you mention picking up your own cup. One of the things that I did was dealt with things that was bothering me and that I needed answers to.
Ooh.
And one of the things was I never had a relationship with my biological father. I had some communication with him when I was a teenager. And for about 7 to 18 years, I had no contact with him. But it was a large part of my struggles in life. And I felt that, I know that once I dealt with underlying issues, emotional trauma, the anger, is when I really started to turn the corner. And it started with my father. So I showed up at his doorstep. I think I was 33 or 34 at the time and said, I really need to have a conversation with you in a heart to heart. And I was amazed at, after I had this conversation with him,
mm-hmm.
how it bothered me all of my life that my father wasn't in my life. Because here I am, my mother died and I felt like I had no parent. But I was amazed at how my spirit was so at ease once I confronted the underlying issues of what was going on in my life and the underlying issues to the emotions and the feelings and the anger and the confusion that I was dealing with. Once I confronted that head on, I was able to move forward. And that is also a part of filling your cup.
Yes, yes. Because you're no longer spending unnecessary energy with confusion. Because when you are confused, you're constantly, like, it's so draining. And it comes to judgment all the time. You're going around, it makes you angry. A combination of confusion and anger is just a disaster. How can you be productive in your own life? Not even society, for yourself. So when you were able to deal with that, that was no longer an issue for you because now you have clarity. And I always try to tell people, you have to face things. I have people in my life, I don't like things lingering. I have to address it. Whether it's good, it's bad, it's hard, it's difficult, I must address it. Because if I leave it there and it's lingering, it takes up my energy. And it drains me, and I don't like that. And so, you know, I never thought about that as filling my cup. I just thought I'm addressing things so I can move on. But that makes total sense because now you have energy to focus on something else that's positive for you.
Yes, it is actually mentally draining. And so, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to do in life, it's like, it doesn't allow you to progress until you deal with it.
Okay. That was the aha for me. Because I'm like, okay. Because I'm so people, I was like, oh, you know, never afraid to deal with stuff and face stuff. I just want to get it over with so I can focus on something else. That's how I feel about it. So let's see. Now, is it possible, because you touched a little bit on this. sometimes people feel like, I know I get that a lot from my audience. They're like, but I want to be in my mom's life, or I want to be in my dad's life, or I still want to be with this partner, this boyfriend, this whatever. I want to be with them, but I know that they're not healthy for me. You know, there's a lot of toxicity around there, and people think that you can still self-develop and maintain that relationship. And you talked a little bit about that, but tell us, how is that possible or not?
That is not possible. It is almost like living a double life, right? Because here you are trying to progress, but you are still around energy that is lowering your vibration, because when you are around certain individuals or whatever's going on in your life, it like I said, it's like a mind game. It's like your mind is playing tricks on you for whatever they're saying to you. Then you develop a lot of self-doubt. You cannot progress and do self-development when you are around people and energy that does not agree with your spirit. And all the time, I say this to women all the time, we know it, we ignore it. And my advice would be, if there is something, an action, a person, or a thing that doesn't give you happy feelings, if you will, get rid of it. You cannot build relationships. Like when I addressed my father, although it was part of my healing process and filling my cup because I was addressing my issues, I was trying to see if I could salvage some sort of relationship with him. But I had to accept that I put forth an effort, and I can't, because we as humans, we have these expectations, and when these expectations are not met, we are dissatisfied. So we have to accept what it is instead of what we wish that it would be and live in the reality. So the reality is that I addressed the situation, but another part of my reality is that I don't have this budding relationship with my father. I thought maybe that would be the outcome of that conversation, but it was not. But you have to be able to accept the reality of what's going on and not create this dream in your mind that, oh, I can still keep these friends. I can still, you know, do the things and have these negative thoughts in my mind and still progress and have self-development. You cannot. They cannot coincide. In order for you to move forward, you have to leave all of that behind. And that is the real challenge, because depending, you may live with these people and you don't have any place where else to go. But you got to make drastic decisions and choices to say, how can I remove that would allow me? How can I allow myself to be happy and fulfilled? And you have to do it for yourself. It is not a selfish deed. It is a selfless deed, because you love yourself. That is the key. But when you don't love yourself, you accept things that are not good for you. So love yourself first and be a little bit selfish and progress and thrive, and you can do it.
That was so fooling. Because there's nothing else to come back with that. That was just perfect. Well, for my motherless daughters that are, you know, when I think, only because I have been in that environment in terms of that toxic mental environment, I always think about them like, I wonder how they're doing from some of the emails and messages that I get. How, you know, for us, society, it's a taboo to talk about mothers that are not good, mothers that are really just very toxic, very jealous, very narcissistic, very just awful. And no one wants to address it. And a lot of times when someone says, well, this is how my mother is, no one believes them. So I think about them like in a situation, like trying to change their lives. You know, my heart is just, I give them all the love and support I possibly can, because I know how awful that can be. Now, for some of the things that they have experienced in terms of toxicity with their mothers and having that hole in their heart, you touched a little bit about this before, but it kind of like, something else came up. But I wanted to know, like, did you experience a hole in your heart from not having your mother as a teenager, as a young adult?
Absolutely. That hole, I experienced that hole since my mother passed away. And that hole never goes away. That feeling, that desire, that unconditional love that you yearn for is no longer there. And so I think that attributed to my depression and my loneliness. And it took me many years to be okay with that hole. And there are times now that, you know, it doesn't happen more regularly like it used to many years ago, but there are times even now for Mother's Day, you know, I would love for my mother to be here. I would love for my mother to meet my children. Holidays, people go home to their families. I know, you know, I remember not having a mom every time Christmas came around, or, you know, Thanksgiving, I would always be a visitor at home. And it is such a sense of a lonely feeling. You're like, it's almost like you're searching for where you belong. And so the hole never, ever goes away. But with time, you become more okay with it. You have to accept it. Instead of what we say and how we talk to ourselves in our minds and say, why me? How is it that everyone around me has a loving mother? And here I am with either you don't have a mother, or a mother where you don't have a great relationship, or, you know, it's so toxic. How did this happen to me? It's almost like, you know, the pity. You start to question your self-worth. But it just doesn't go away. Hopefully it gets better over time. You remove yourself from that situation. I mean, sometimes even you have to go through drastic measures. You have to accept what it is. And if that is what it is, that you're in a toxic relationship with your mother, or you don't have a rapport with your mother, there are other people in your life, and they don't have to be blood related, that can fulfill that motherly spot. They will never fulfill it 100%, but you could have a rapport with girlfriends, where you can experience this unconditional love where you expect that from your mother, right? But if your mother is not there, you don't have a good relationship, there are other avenues that you can seek, mm-hmm. that you can have a very loving and fulfilling and unconditional love type of relationship where you're not always seeking it from your mother. So one is to accept it. Two is maybe it could just be one girlfriend. But I would recommend that oftentimes because we're looking for this unconditional love, we find ourselves in relationships. Most of the time as women, we find ourselves in relationships with men because we're looking for this unconditional love that we're not receiving from our mothers. I've experienced that. It's something that, you know, I work on to this day. But you just have to accept that it is what it is, move past it, accept it, dig deep, find someone else where you could experience unconditional love with. You have to love yourself first and then be open to love from others.
Absolutely. And my goal is to help women that have these non-existent or toxic relationships with their mothers to kind of just remother themselves. You have to start with yourself, because one thing that I used to do is I used to put pressure on literally all of my relationships, because I'm looking for that unconditional love in my manager, in my friends, in my this, in my that. And it's not fair to the other people, because they may not be ready. They may have their own issues. They may have their own problems. So I had to give that to myself first. And believe it, like, after I have done that, I have all these amazing relationships with no, where these women would just check on me, make sure I'm okay. Do I need anything? Someone would be like, oh, I made something. You want to come and pick it up? And I don't even know these women, but I think before I didn't have it because I was so desperate, and desperate, and I didn't know how to give it to myself. Where now I give it to myself so much that other people can feel it. And sometimes people just want to be around that, you know?
I had this same conversation with my best friend earlier today, that you have to recognize who genuinely wants to love you and be in your life, and who genuinely, or the opposite, or who wants to be in your life because of the love that you give to yourself and the energy that you give to yourself. Right? You have to be very aware and conscious. Once you start to love yourself, you start to exude a light. And people want that. You know, there's so much darkness in this world. And so if you exude positivity, if you exude unconditional love to yourself, people recognize that. It is a very strong and powerful thing. And so it's amazing that you do that. It really is.
What is your one word for my motherless daughters of encouragement? The one word that can propel them towards healing?
I have to say forgiveness. I really, forgiveness. Because forgiveness is a form of self-love and compassionate and kindness to yourself, not to anyone else, to yourself. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. We carry so much pain, burden on our shoulders, and we dwell in that, right? We dwell in it for lack of understanding, for so many reasons. And so we end up being so harsh on ourselves instead of forgiving ourselves. Being compassionate to ourselves, being kind to ourselves, letting go of that.
Perfect. I love that. Forgiveness is a form of self-love. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode. If you love this episode, please, please, please share it with someone in need of healing. Share it on all social media platforms or just plain old text messages, okay? Subscribe to our newsletter, follow us on Instagram, join our Facebook support group page, and subscribe to the YouTube channel at The Zainab Knuth Show. Thank you for all the love and support. Until next time, be so good. Be so kind, be so patient, and be so loving to yourself.